Translation: when the world is overburdened by the fighting strength of kings who have no faith in God, the Lord, just to diminish the distress of the world, descends with his plenary portion. The Lord comes in his original form with beautiful black hair, and just to expand his transcendental glories, he acts extraordinarily. No one can properly estimate how great he is. It's having long purport, almost 2 pages. Purport. This verse is especially describing the appearance of Lord Krishna and his immediate expansion, Lord Baldev. Both Lord Krishna and Lord Baldev are one supreme personality of Godhead. The Lord is omnipotent and he expands himself in innumerable forms and energies, and the whole unit is known as one supreme Brahman. Such extensions of the Lord are divided into two divisions, namely personal and differential. The personal expansions are called Vishnu Tattvas, and differential expansions are called Jiva Tattvas. And in such expansional activity, Lord Baldev is the first personal expansion of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Vishnu Purana, as well as in the Mahabharata, both Krishna and Baldev are mentioned as having beautiful black hair. Even in their advanced age, the Lord is called Anuplakshya Margaha, or in a still more technical Vedic term, Avan Manasi Gocharaha, one who is never to be seen or realized by the limited sense perception of the people in general. In the Bhagavad Gita 7:25, it is said by the Lord, Naham Prakasa Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samabhutaha. In other words, he reserves the right of not being exposed to anyone and everyone. Only the bona fide devotees can know him by his specific symptoms. And out of many, many such symptoms, one symptom is mentioned here in this verse, that the Lord is Sita Krishna Kesaha, or one who is observed always with beautiful black hair. Both Lord Krishna and Lord Baldev have such hair on their heads, and thus even in advanced age, they appeared like young boys, 16-year-olds. That is the particular symptom of the personality of Godhead. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that although he is the oldest personality among all living entities, he always looks like a new youthful boy. That is the characteristics of a spiritual body. The material body is symptomized by birth, death, old age and diseases. But the spiritual body is conspicuous by the absence of those symptoms. Living entities who reside in the Vaikuntha Lokas in eternal life and bliss have the same type of spiritual body, without being affected by any signs of old age. It is described in the Bhagavatam, Canto 6, that the party of Vishnu Dutas, who came to deliver Ajamila from the clutches of the party of Yamaraja, appeared like youthful boys, corroborating the description in this verse. It is ascertained, thus, that the spiritual bodies in the Vaikuntha Lokas, either of the Lord or of the other inhabitants, are completely distinct from the material bodies of this world. Therefore, when the Lord descends from that world to this world, he descends in his spiritual body of Atma Maya, or internal potency, without any touch of the Bahiranga Maya, or external material energy. The allegation that the impersonal Brahman appears in this material world by accepting a material body is quite absurd. Therefore, the Lord, when he comes here, has not a material body, but a spiritual body. The impersonal Brahma Jyoti is only the glaring effulgence of the body of the Lord, and there is no difference in quality between the body of the Lord and the impersonal ray of the Lord, called Brahma Jyoti. Now the question is, why the Lord, who is omnipotent, comes here to diminish the burden created upon the world by the unscrupulous kingly order? Certainly the Lord does not need to come here personally for such purposes, but he actually descends to exhibit his transcendental activities in order to encourage his pure devotees who want to enjoy life by chanting the glories of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 13-14, it is stated that the Mahatmas, great devotees of the Lord, take pleasure in chanting the activities of the Lord. All Vedic literatures are meant for turning one's attention towards the Lord and His transcendental activities. Thus, the activities of the Lord in His dealings with worldly people create a subject matter for discussion by His pure devotees. So, this chapter is scheduled incarnation, and many incarnations have been discussed before. Here also, and first canto also, third chapter, 22 types of incarnations are being discussed. There is the need of discussing scheduled incarnation because there is no unscheduled incarnation of the Lord. And it is always there that conditioned soul have the tendency to try to become God. And unless the incarnations are not mentioned in the scriptures, anybody can say that I am God or He is God. Already it is happening. Prabhupada used to say that in India, every day God takes birth. New God comes out. In Mumbai, there are two brothers and one sister, and they have the Rath Yatra like Lord Jagannath. Many people comes. Not lakhs of, but thousands of people come. They do it, the kind of Rath Yatra. So this is the nature of conditioned soul, to try to become God or try to minimize God. Both are the same. They say that everyone is God, but God is not God. It's the same thing. We all can become God, but Krishna is not the God. So they minimize the importance of God and they maximize the importance of Jiva. That is the tendency of Baddha Jiva. Param Pooja Giriraj Swami Maharaj, he writes in his book that before coming in ISKCON, he also had this tendency. And in his whole place, means even in the toilet, in the mirror, he has written that I am God. I am God like this. And he had some friends like this who were also of the same mentality. So when he came in the contact of Srila Prabhupada, in the first meeting, Prabhupada was just looking at him. Nobody introduced him that this is the boy. Prabhupada saw him and Prabhupada immediately told, if you try to become God, why God will tolerate the competition unnecessarily? So better not to become God, better to become godly. It is good to become godly, but it is very dangerous to become God. So Maharaj says that I never told Prabhupada that I had this mentality, but Prabhupada at the first look he told that don't try to become God. And this was just the first conversation, then some devotees carried him in the car. And one Mataji was preaching to him, seeing that he is a new person. So that Mataji was giving the example that in the cinema hall, you see so many pictures, moving pictures. Maharaj was telling yesterday, Chalachitra means moving pictures. So those pictures are coming from the light of the camera, and camera is the behind. And that Mataji told that all those pictures converges on one point. So Maharaj thought, okay, now she is coming to the Nirakarvad, I think, because all these pictures are coming to the point. And then Mataji told, but behind that point, there is the plug to open the camera, and that plug is being operated by a person. So everything is personal in the spiritual world, even in this material world. So the more gross one's consciousness is, the more one faces difficulty in developing the personal conception. Because in the Vedic literatures, even the hills, rivers and oceans have the personal expansion. We know that Himalaya's daughter is Parvati. Vindhya's daughter is Srimati Radharani. So many people think how it can be done. How the mountain can give birth to a daughter. It is a stone. But actually in Vedic sense, everything has the personal and impersonal aspect. Personal aspect is the Shaktiman, powerful, and the impersonal aspect is the Shakti. So there are two concepts, Shaktiman and Shakti. One who has the power, he is called Shaktiman, and the power itself is called Shakti. So this is there in Lord Vishnu's spiritual potency also. Even in material potency, the same things are there. So the Himalaya or Mount Everest, we see, and they are a person, and this mountain form is the energy of that person. Everything, even the Thames River also here. They are the personality. Narmada, Ganga, Yamuna, they all are the personality. So normally, that's why in the scriptures it is being mentioned clearly when the Lord will take birth and what will be his activities. And they are being mentioned in astrology also. In the Vedic time, as soon as the child used to take birth, they used to go for astrology, palmistry, that what he will do. Even Srila Prabhupada time also, Srila Prabhupada, his future was being predicted. Parikshit Maharaj also we see in first canto of Bhagavatam. So this was the culture that these things are being mentioned here. This is the first point of this chapter. In the purport, actually in the translation it is written that when the world is overburdened by the fighting strength of the kings who have no faith in God, the Lord, just to diminish the stress of the world, comes in this world. So the point comes in third canto. Third canto, I believe it is between the discussion between Uddhava and Vidur, before the Vidur Maitreya Samvad starts. So there one point Prabhupada writes that actually the world does not become overburdened by the weight. One may think that there is so much weight, 750 crore. How many people are there on this world? More than 7 billion. It's close to 8 billion now. So one may think that it is overpopulation, weight is increasing, people's weight is increasing, that's why the world is becoming overburdened. But it is not the case. Prabhupada writes in third canto, there are so many hills, so many rivers and oceans whose weight is much more than all the living entities in this world. So the cause of overburden is not the overpopulation. Cause of overburden is the sinful activity. Actually, the Mother Earth cannot tolerate the sinful activity. And if people are becoming more and more sinful, then the Mother Earth reduces the supply, natural supply. This happened in Bhagavatam also. Prithu Maharaj, when he became the king, he saw that Mother Earth was not supplying anything because of the sin of his father, King Vena. Then he had to go and chastise Mother Earth, then she started supplying. So, and on the other hand, we see when there is the pious king, like Yudhishthir, then we see that the cows were having so much milk that it was whole pasturing ground and fields were filled with the milk, not with the water. Now we water the garden, water the trees, but that time it was being milked. Cows were milking it and whole crops was filled with the milk instead of water. That was the condition in Maharaj Yudhishthir time. And also the demigods were very helpful because there were only rain at the scheduled times. Only normally in Vedic time this was the thing, that in the night time when people are sleeping, that time it used to rain. Daytime it was the normal thing. Because demigods were cooperating with the living entities. And now the cycle is changing, that means living entities are becoming sinful. That's why demigods are not cooperating, Mother Earth is not cooperating. So this is the sign of overburdening the world. And Srila Prabhupada used to say, as the Kali Yuga will progress, more symptoms we will see. Eventually there will be no food grain. Don't worry, it will not happen till the time ISKCON is there. But after that it is bound to happen. That there will be no food grain, and people will eat, the father will eat the son, the brother will eat the brother. It means whenever there is the hunger, there will be chopper and they will kill and eat like that. That situation will come in the Kali Yuga eventually. It's already has come to some places. Switzerland, I heard that Switzerland, the famous meat product is the meat of the unborn child, aborted child. They serve in the restaurant. So it is normally happening currently also. The world is heading towards the hellish condition. And we may not realize, because we are mostly in the association of devotees, so we do not realize how much degradation is following in the world. But this is the duty of devotees to bring back. We need to run faster than the materialist to bring back the civilization to the normal sense. Whole civilization is going towards the hell, and devotees has to run faster to stop them and bring them back. It's a difficult task, because altogether, if we count all over the world, ISKCON doesn't have maximum how many devotees? Maybe few crore, maybe. That also is not, it's not sure how many. But the world population is 8 billion. So if we count on each ISKCON devotee, 10 million ISKCON devotees, 20 million ISKCON devotees if we count, but they have the weight of 8 billion. So one person, how many? At least 1,000. Every ISKCON devotee has to preach to 1,000 people at least. Then we can think that, we will be able to do some things. Each ISKCON devotee has to preach to at least 1,000. That's the responsibility which ISKCON devotees have, because nobody else has the proper philosophy, proper practices and proper tools to preach. Only Prabhupada, by Prabhupada's mercy, we have this. So this is the responsibility of ISKCON devotees. And mind you, all ISKCON devotees are not preachers. They are not active preachers. Here, Sisi Radha Gokulanand ki jai, Sisi Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nithai ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Here we have taken the number randomly, but all ISKCON devotees are not preachers. And by taking the random number also, it is coming 1,000, one person to 1,000. That means the preacher has to at least 1% to 10,000. That's the way so. So we should not be satisfied with one program, or some 50 people are coming, 100 people are coming. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to think big, how to make the cultural revolution in the world. Especially the Western world, Prabhupada came and he started the movement. He sent his three disciples, three couples to London. That was the beginning of the preaching. Prabhupada actually told them that you go to London, but they were not able to understand what we will do in London. They were few months old actually. So Prabhupada was in Montreal and all three of them went there. And they asked this question to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, what we are going to do? Because London, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent his disciples to London in 1930s, 20s and 30s. They stayed here some years. They couldn't preach. They got some pictures with some people, some communication kind of thing. Go to people, give them the book and take the pictures. Like that, they got something. And there was one disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Vinod Vadi Devi Dasi. She used to live in London. So they knew this story. They asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what we will do? We are ultra neophyte person, only 5-6 months, 1 year old, what we will do? So Prabhupada told them the story. One story he told. And that is a very funny story actually. Prabhupada told that in one of the nightclub, one person was dancing. And while dancing, his pant got cut in such a way that his whole, or almost half of the leg was visible. So when he saw that this happened, he couldn't understand what other people will think, what they will say. So then he got the idea. Other side of the pant, other leg of the pant also he cut in the same way, in the same style. And then he went confidently and started dancing. So people saw that, and this is a new fashion. So all others started cutting their pants from that place, and they all started dancing. Soon the whole nightclub was dancing in that same fashion. So Prabhupada told them that you may look weird. You don't have the hairs on the head. You have different kind of dress. So people will take you some unusual person. But only thing, if you do Naga Sankirtan confidently, then slowly people will consider as a new fashion and they will come with you. And those who will come with you, you can start preaching to them. That's how that was the first instruction of Prabhupada to all these three couples. And they didn't have the money to come to London. They came to where? Yeah. And then one couple used to send the Lakshmi, they used to go inside, then used to send the Lakshmi back. Like that they stayed. Whole story is Miracles in Second Avenue. Maharaj has written the book, and also some one or two more books, the whole story is given, how they started preaching. So in this purport then it comes that Lord Krishna and Balram, they have the beautiful black hair. In the word-to-word meaning, Srila Prabhupada is translating here, Sita Krishna means not only beautiful but also black. What does it mean? Normally it is being considered that if a person is beautiful, he should not be black. Or the black person cannot be beautiful. This is the normal conception of the people. That's why Prabhupada is writing, not only beautiful but also black. Krishna is beautiful also and black also. People have difficulty imagining that conception, that how the black person can be beautiful. Actually, Krishna is not totally black. It's written in, because normally it's difficult to understand the transcendental color with our mundane eyes. His color is being mentioned as the Syamal color. Syamal color is the mixture of two colors, Syama and Neela. When blue color and black color mixes, so it looks like Krishna's color. It is called deep blue color. So that is the color of Krishna. And because it is difficult to make the marble deities in that color, deep blue, so we either use the white or black. But in the scriptures it is mentioned that he has the Syamal color. Lord Ramchandra has the greenish look. Lord Krishna has the Syamal color. Yeah, in that picture also, Lord Ramchandra has the greenish look and Lord Krishna has the Krishna look. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has the golden look. All these three are like that. So, in this purport, it's written about Lord Krishna and Balram. Krishna and Balram are the pinnacle of all incarnations in this world. There is the story in Chaitanya Bhagavat in this context. Chaitanya Bhagavat Madhya Khand. One day what happened? Sachi Devi, Mother Sachi, she used to offer bhoga to the Lord. They had Krishna Balaram deities in their house. So one day, Mother Sachi in the dream, she was seeing that Nitai and Nimai, both went inside the altar, and Krishna Balaram were also there. So the item which she offered to Krishna Balaram, God Nitai started eating. And then Krishna Balaram became angry. Balaram told, how dare you to eat our offerings? This is being offered to us, and we are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Nityananda Prabhu told, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not in Kali Yuga, in Dwapara Yuga. So you stay in your yoga. This yoga is my Lord, Brahmana. Now this is not your yoga. You are the cowherd boy, stay silent. Now this is the yoga where Brahmanas will dominate. My Lord Nimai Pandit is Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, like that, they were fighting, and Mother Sachi was seeing in the dream. And there are many things, some 20-30 slokas are in Chaitanya Bhagavad discussing what all they were discussing, both parties were discussing. Eventually, her sleep broke, and she saw that Nityananda was standing in front of her and asking for the food. So, she couldn't understand whether this happened actually or she saw in the dream. But in the evening, she mentioned this to Lord Chaitanya when he came back to the house. So Lord Chaitanya told that, oh, I used to think that there is less prasadam in the thali because I used to think that your daughter-in-law is eating. After offering, hiding she is eating. But now I came to know that Nityananda is eating actually. So this is the only joke which Lord Chaitanya was not so much joking with his family members. Joking in the sense he was happy, but not kind of joking. So this is the joke which comes, prank which he used with his wife. Otherwise not much things are mentioned between their talks, what they used to talk. So in that discussion it comes that although Krishna Balaram is the source of all incarnation, in the Kali Yuga, God Nitai dominates. Dominates means God Nitai, serving God Nitai will give us the service to Radha Krishna. But in Kali Yuga the main mode of worship is through Sankirtan. That's why Srila Prabhupada also introduced in the houses, whenever somebody used to ask, he used to say that put Gaudnitai deities, not Radha Krishna deity. Because worshipping Radha Krishna is not so easy actually. It has so many rules and regulations. But worshipping Gaudnitai is very easy. You just do kirtan, 15-15 minute morning in the night, and they will be happy. Even if you are not giving prasad, they will be happy. It's not that we should not give prasad, but their main food is kirtan, Gaudnitai. So Gaudnitai is the first preferable deity in ISKCON grihasthasram devotees. Second preferable is Jagannath. Jagannath worship has little more standard than Gaudnitai, little less standard than Radha Krishna. So second is Lord Jagannath, and third is Radha Krishna. So that was the culture Prabhupada wanted to stay, that Kali Yuga is the age of Gaudnitai, and if we worship Gaudnitai, then we achieve all perfection. And there are some doubt regarding Krishna's supremacy. Even in India, there is so much doubt regarding whether Krishna is the avatar of Vishnu or Vishnu is the avatar of Krishna. Many people have this question. And this is a valid question also, because in Vishnu Sahasranam, the name Krishna comes. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya is discussing about incarnations, there also the name Krishna comes. So many people have the doubt that Lord Vishnu is supreme and Krishna just came 5,000 years ago. And he is one of the incarnation. And they don't take him so seriously. They say that Vishnu is the supreme. So, even in Vaishnava Sampradaya, sometimes this doubt may be there, because Sri Sampradaya, they worship Lord Ramchandra and Vishnu as the supreme. So these kind of little diversities are there. But we can see in some of the pastime, one pastime comes when Lord Brahma kidnaps all the cowherd boys, cows and calves for 1 year. Means it was one moment for Brahma, but 1 year on this earth. And when he came back, he saw that from Krishna all Narayanas are coming out. He only saw one Narayana. In his whole life, he only saw one Narayana. But he saw thousands of Vishnus are coming out. So he couldn't understand actually who is Krishna. He didn't imagine that there are so many Narayana actually. He just knew one Narayana. So when he saw so many Narayana, he almost became unconscious that who is this Krishna? And same thing happened with Brahma again when he went to Dwarka. He asked, I want to meet Krishna. So the doorkeeper told that, which Brahma you are? From which Brahmanda you are coming? So Brahma didn't know that there are so many Brahmandas. And he told that I am four-headed Brahma and father of Narada. Please tell. And when he went inside, the first question he asked, how many Brahmas are there? Why you are asking like this? Then Krishna called all Brahmas from all Brahmandas. Some were having 4 heads, 8 heads, 16 heads, 256 heads. Some were having 10 lakh heads. And then Brahma thought, okay, I am just a insignificant ant in comparison to all these Brahmas. Then Lord Krishna explained that according to the size of the universe, the size of the head of Brahma is required. Because this has 4 billion miles, this universe, so 4 heads are required. So there are universes much bigger than this. So there are Lord Brahma much bigger than you. So then only Lord Brahma says that some people may think that they can understand Lord, but I cannot understand. He understood by this incident that who is Narayana, who is Krishna, who is Vishnu. Similarly, there is one famous incident comes in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 88 or 89. When the Mahavishnu steals the sons of Brahmana from Dwarka. The son took birth and he just died. And the Brahmana came in the Dwarka and he was telling to Ugrasen that when the king is sinful, then only there is the misery for the Praja. So I have not done any sinful activity. That means you are sinful. Because of your sin, my son is dying. And Arjuna was there. Arjuna is naturally Kshatriya. Kshatriyas have the tendency to take vow unnecessarily, means untimely. Arjuna used to take vow like this, I will kill Jayadratha. And then Krishna had to tell, why did you take this vow? please think twice before taking vow. But Kshatriya has this tendency. So Arjuna saw that nobody is responding, even Krishna and Balram are silent. So Arjuna, a Kshatriya tendency, woke up. He thought, I think that the religion has gone from this world. Now I will protect your son. I, Arjuna, will protect your son. And Krishna was smiling. Let's see how you protect. Krishna was smiling. He didn't say anything. And Brahmana also asked, will you be able to protect him? Because Krishna is silent, Balaram is silent, and you are speaking. So Arjuna told, no. I am the same Arjuna who conquered 33 crore demigods. I am the same Arjuna. My Gandhi is so powerful. And Krishna is just simply sitting silently and smiling. So Brahmana told, okay, let's see. When the next son will about to take birth, I will call you. So he called at that time, and Arjuna covered the whole house of the Brahmana with the arrows. Nothing, even the smallest part cannot go out. Even the soul cannot go out like that. Arjuna was so powerful. But when the son took birth, immediately he died. And Brahmana started chastising Arjuna that, I knew that you are a liar. You are a liar. You don't know anything. Out of your pride, you have taken a vow like this. And now it is the question of Arjuna's prestige. So he went to Yamaraj. Yamaraj told that, I never saw this soul. It didn't come to me. Arjuna went to Brahma. Brahma told, this living entity is not in my universe. I don't know where it has gone. So now Arjuna's limit got end. And he took the vow that if I will not be able to protect, I will die. I will commit commit suicide by placing myself in the fire. Yeah, Agni Samadhi. So when Arjuna was about to take Samadhi, that time Krishna came and Krishna was still smiling. Then Arjuna told, why you are smiling? I am about to die and you are smiling. Then Krishna told, come with me. We will bring Brahmana's son. And then Krishna take Arjuna. This was the first time when Arjuna was like the charioteer and Krishna was like the Maharathi. Whole Mahabharata battle, Krishna was the charioteer. But here Arjuna had the reins, and there was so much darkness outside the universe that Sudarshan Chakra was going ahead of the Rath to show the path. So they crossed this universe, they crossed whole Brahmajyoti. Brahmajyoti means Virja Samudra. And they went inside the Karan Samudra. And inside the Karan Samudra, they went to the palace of Lord Mahavishnu. And there they saw Mahavishnu, and Mahavishnu had the child. So I think 5-6 child were there. So then Mahavishnu told, I wanted to see both of you. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes there, why Mahavishnu wants to see both of them? If Krishna is the incarnation of Mahavishnu, then why Mahavishnu will want to see his incarnation? What is the use of his having the desire? Mahavishnu writes, says this, that from long time I had a desire to see you. So that means Krishna doesn't come so often, and Mahavishnu doesn't get the opportunity to see Krishna so often. That's why he wanted to see Krishna, and that's why he did hold this thing. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that what is the pranam mantra of Vishnu? Krishna also, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha. He is the Lord of the Brahmanas. When Mahavishnu is the Lord of the Brahmana, why he put that Brahmana in the misery? 6-7 son died, Brahmana was so unhappy. Why Mahavishnu put his devotee in unhappiness? This also has the same answer. His desire to see Krishna was so much that he was able to put his devotee in the difficulty to see Krishna. Then the next question also comes. Mahavishnu could have gone to Dwarka to see Krishna. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur answers that without Krishna's permission, nobody can go to Dwarka and see Krishna. So Mahavishnu cannot go by himself. He doesn't have the power to go Dwarka by himself. And then the next question comes, he could have sent some of his associates to take the child of Brahmana. But Dwarka was so protected that nobody can go. So Mahavishnu had to go personally himself to take the souls of the Brahmana, souls of the sons of the Brahmana. And that's how Brahma didn't come to know, Yamaraj didn't come to know, because Mahavishnu was taken. So after that, Mahavishnu took back the sons, and then Krishna and Arjuna came. So that incident shows that Krishna is the Purna Purushottam Bhagavan, Ete Cham Sakala Pumsa, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. All are the incarnations, but Krishna is the source of all incarnation. And also in the middle of the purport, it's being mentioned that they both have black hair in their head, even in advanced age. When Mahabharata Yuddha was there, that time Krishna's age was almost 125 years, more than 100 years. But he was looking like Navayovanam. Adhyam Purana Purusam Navayovanam Cha. And modern people have difficult conception in understanding the age of the people, Puranic people. You might have seen the image of Lord Brahma always. It is the white hairs and he is very old, because he is being depicted like the grandfather of the universe. So they think that because he made the universe, so he must be very old. So they make it like the Buddha Baba, 100 years old, like that. But Brahma is not that old, actually. If we see age of Brahma, it's 14 manvantar when Krishna comes. It's one day of Brahma in 7th manvantar, 28 Chaturyuga. So, and Brahma's half age is finished. 50 years is finished, because 50 years Neel Madhav comes, and next 50 years Lord Jagannath comes. It comes in Lord Jagannath's story. So 50 years Neel Madhav stays in this world, then 50 years Jagannath comes in this world. So this 50th has ended, 51st year is going on. 51st year, first day is going on, 7th Manvantara has come. And 28 Chaturyuga just passed. This is 29th, it is going on. 28 to 29. So if we calculate according to the hour time, it's almost afternoon, between 11 to 12 o'clock in the Brahma's 51st year. First day, 1st January, almost noon time is there. So he is not that old. 50 years is not that old. So people have difficulty understanding these type of concepts. And Krishna Balaram is always Navayovanam, although they are very old, but they are Navayovanam. Also, they have so much power that Lord Ananta says, doesn't even feel that this Brahmanda is on the hood of his hood. He doesn't feel like this. It describes that so many universes are on his hood and he doesn't realize it. So Ananta says, and Balaram is not like the, in the Roman or with mythology it comes, Hercules. He takes the globe on his hand. Yeah, Greek mythology. So you see the picture, he is looking very tired. His whole neck is like this, and so it's not that just in one universe Krishna is tired like this, he has to somehow took it up. They don't feel also, the whole universe. So many universes are there, and this universe is the most smallest universe. So they don't feel the weight. That is the power of Lord Krishna. That's how we should understand that nobody can become God. Somebody wants to do Ras Leela like Krishna, so they should know that before performing Ras Leela, Krishna also performed... Which all Leela? Govardhan Leela he did before that. 7 days, the whole hill he put on his small finger. So we should challenge them that not the Govardhan, even this table you can put on your little finger for 1 hour. Then we can understand here that you are something. Krishna put the whole Govardhan for 7 days and night. So first imitate that activity, then imitate Ras Leela. Just like some people want to imitate Lord Shiva's drinking Kalkut poison. They don't drink Kalkut poison. They just intoxicate with some intoxication. So if they want to imitate Lord Shiva, they should take the Kalkut poison. That is the proper imitation. So that's why Srila Sukadeva Goswami says in 10th canto, Teji yasam na dosaya. One cannot imitate the very powerful persons. And Krishna is such that Krishna's activities doesn't come in the moral standards. Like Lord Ramchandra is the Maryada Purushottam, and when we see from the glasses of morality, we see that Lord Ramchandra is very nice. That's why he is very famous many places. In whole North India, Lord Ramchandra is very famous. Everybody reads Ramcharitmanas. In every house you see Ramcharitmanas. That's how, because when you see from the glasses of morality, you find Lord Ramchandra is perfect. But when you see from the glasses of morality, you don't find Krishna within that glass, within that standard. Because he didn't just come to teach morality. He came to show, he also established morality, but he came to show that he is God and he can do anything. There is a difference between God and living entity. That was the purpose of Lord Krishna's arrival here. So that's how we should understand. We can follow the instructions of Lord Krishna, but not all of his examples. We should follow Bhagavad Gita, but not Ras Lila. If we follow Bhagavad Gita, we will come perfect. If we follow Ras Lila, we will go to hell. And Krishna's beauty is such that he attracts everyone. We have 5 minutes, no? Okay, just. Krishna's beauty is like that he attracts the entire creation. When he used to play on his flute, 10th canto describes that the movable things used to become still and the solid things used to become liquefied. When you go to Vrindavan, there is the Kamyavan in Brajmandal. In Kamyavan, there is Charan Pahadi. Charan Pahadi means the mountain where Krishna's lotus feet are there on the rock. That is from the scene when Krishna is playing the flute and the rock became liquefied by listening to the flute of Krishna. So that is the attraction of Krishna. And one verse comes in first canto where Bhudevi is lamenting her misfortune when Krishna left this world. That verse comes in canto 1, chapter 16, text 35. Bhudevi says, Kava sahet viraham posottamasya premavalok ruchirasmit valgujalpai. She says that, how I can tolerate the separation of Lord Krishna, who used to attract everyone by 3 things. Premavalok ruchirasmit valgujalpai. Premavalok matlab, eyes filled with love, eyes filled with affection. Ruchi Rasmit, matlab sweet smile. Valgu Jalpai means pleasing talk. So Krishna used to attract everyone in this world by these 3 things. Sweet smile, affectionate eyes, and pleasing talk. And Bhudevi says, Ruchi Rasmit Valgu Jalpai, Sthairam Samanam Aharam Madhumaniniya Romot Savo Mam Yadangvi Vitankitaya. She says that when Krishna was in Hastinapur, devotees of Dwarka were not taking his association. And when Krishna was in Dwarka, Hastinapur devotees were not able to get his association. But I was so fortunate that wherever Krishna was there, he was putting his lotus feet on me. So I was the most fortunate when Krishna was on this world. And now that same Krishna left. So she is lamenting in that chapter. That's how Krishna attracts. And when we start performing devotional service under the expert guidance of spiritual master, then Krishna attracts our heart also. He just wait when our heart will become soft like the butter, then he steals our heart. Because Krishna is famous as Makhan Chor. He only steals butter. So unless our heart is soft like butter, Krishna will not steal. Currently our heart is steel framed heart. Prabhupada writes in second canto, na? Our heart is still framed because even while chanting, we are not able to hear properly. Sometimes we sleep, sometimes we doze. So that means that we don't have taste for the chanting. So we have a still framed heart. When this will become like butter, then Krishna will steal. Because Krishna is the famous thief. One famous poet has written the whole song describing Krishna's nature as a thief. It's Chorashtakam. Vraje prasiddham navaneeta choram, gopanganana chadukulu choram, anek janmarjit papa choram, choragraganyam purusam namami. In his childhood, he is famous as Makhan Chor. In his adult, he is famous as the stealer of the garments of the gopis. And anek janmarjit papa choram. With so many endeavor, we collect so many sinful reactions. In all these lakhs of lifetime, Krishna comes and steals all those sinful reactions. So he is the famous thief. Choragrigandyam purusam namami. And some other things also he steals. Sri Radhikaya hidayas choram. He steals the heart of Srimati Radharani. Navambuda Syamala Kanti Choram. Nava Ambuda means newly formed cloud. Ambu means water. Da means giving. So Ambuda means cloud. Nava Ambuda Syamala Kanti Choram. He steals the color of newly formed cloud. Palasvitaya Samastha Choram. One who takes shelter of Lord Krishna, he steals everything. That person becomes penniless when he surrenders to Krishna. So that is Chora. In the whole Ashtakam, he speaks how Krishna is stealing different things. And last stanza is very nice. After speaking that, we can finish that class. Last stanza, he says that if the thief is bigger, so the punishment should be like that. He should get restricted freedom and he should be put in a place which is very filthy, which is not clean. So the prison cell should be very small and it should be very unclean. To the degree the person is bigger thief, to that degree it should become unclean and small. So because Krishna, you are the biggest thief, so you should be put in the prison which cell is smallest and most unclean. And that prison is actually my heart. It is most unclean and it is very small. And I want to keep you in that prison for whole eternity. I want to put you and I will bind you in that prison house of my heart. Like that, and the Chaurashtakam ends. So Krishna is the famous thief and he steals the heart. And Rupa Goswami wants that those who don't want to get cheated by Krishna, they should not go to Vrindavan. If they go to Vrindavan, their life will forever change. So those who want to remain in this world, they should not go to Vrindavan. After going to Vrindavan, your heart will be stolen by Krishna. Then even if you come back to London, Krishna will find his ways to come into your life. Then you cannot, once you go to Vrindavan, then you are in the list of Krishna and Radharani. Oh, this person from London, from Stanmore, from Watford, he has come to my temple, he has come to my dham. Now his name is in the list. And that name will be cut from the list of Yamaraj and added in the list of Radha Krishna. So then you are finished. Then you cannot go to anywhere. Krishna will not allow you to go to some other demigod also. He will not allow you to go to material life also. Somehow or other he will catch. Because once he catches, he doesn't leave. He caught who? Trinavarta. He caught by the neck. And Trinavarta was telling, let me free, let me free. He didn't let him go. So Krishna, once he catches, then he doesn't leave. Fortunately, Srila Prabhupada made the arrangement that we are chanting the holy name. And somehow we have come in the list of Krishna. We don't know when we will be able to go back, but at least Krishna will make arrangement for us to go back in some lifetimes. If we become more sincere in this life, then it may happen that we will go in this life. But at least we have the hope, because we are in the list of Radha Krishna. So many times we have gone to Vrindavan. So we are in the diary of Krishna. So this is our fortune, to be in touch with Srila Prabhupada and Guru Parampara. And we should make full use in such a way that at the time of death, we should not lament that I have not done proper practice of devotional service. At the time of death, we should think, from my side, I have done the best. Now Krishna decides what he wants to do, where he wants to put me. But from my side, whatever I could do, I have done. That's what we should be feeling at the time of death. That it's not sure Krishna will accept or not, but from my side, I have done my best. So that much devotional service we should do, that at the time of death we should not lament that when I had time I didn't do, now I don't have time, like that. So these are the things in this purport. It's a good purport. And eventually also more pastimes are coming in the coming slokas. So our time is over. If some devotees want to ask some question, can they ask now or personally they can ask after the class? It's 8:45 now.
Just wanted to say thank you for a very nourishing and thorough class on this purport. Very nice, very knowledgeable. Thank you.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.